This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To the haq. Don't you hear? The Jews will go to Jannah. The Christians will go to Jannah. And this will go to Jannah. May Allah make you also with them. And you will see. Okay. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. You will be with whom you love. You love them? Go. You will be resurrected with them. You love the Prophet ﷺ, you'll be with the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. So these are subul al-dalal, my dear brothers and sisters. Ways of deception. The way to the haq is only one. Long. Full of hardships. Full of obstacles, full of tests. That's the way. And you will be a stranger, gharib. Maybe you'll be by yourself. Everyone around you is taking these shortcuts. So don't be intimidated. Don't doubt what you are upon. You are upon the haq. Just ask Allah to keep you remain steadfast. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, أنت الجماعة ولو كنت بمفردك. أنت الجماعة. You are the جماعة. You are the group. Even if you are by yourself. Alone. Alone. Don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Don't feel you are alone. Allah is with you. Allah is with you. The Prophet ﷺ, he saw on the night of the Mi'raj prophets passing in front of him. Prophet with two men, or three, or one, or none. They are prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them. And no one responded. That prophet, he delivered the message. And Allah knows that. So he will come on the day of resurrection alone, by himself. By himself. And this is a lesson for the dua. For some of the dua, if the response is weak from the people, they leave the da'wah. No, continue. Continue, because you are calling to the path, the way of Allah, and your ajr is already there. The malaika wrote for you your reward. Whether the people respond or not, that's not in your hand. That's only in Allah's hand. In Allah's hand. So just continue doing the da'wah. Also, should not be concerned about the number of the followers, those who respond. Whether 1, 2,000, millions, doesn't matter. That should not affect your performance of the da'wah, and giving the da'wah. Your performance is the same. Whether one is attending your study circle or thousands, the same. Same throughput, the same performance, the same delivery. You should not be influenced by the number. Number, remove it from your mind. Remove it. continue doing the da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your words, if they are coming from your heart, they will reach, inshallah, their hearts. The one who opens people's hearts is only Allah. Your task, your job, only to convey the message to them and to remind them. So, my advice for you, brothers and sisters, remain steadfast, abide by the Kitab and Sunnah, and follow footsteps of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain tugging on that path. May Allah azza wa jal keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we breathe our last and find our Rabb pleased with all of us. Amen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge of righteous deeds. May Allah unite our ummah the haq. And may Allah unite our hearts in the haq. And may Allah reward you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khair. We have received our first set of questions, if you would like to move on to that, Sheikh.
Inshallah.
So the first question is, what is the advice on the new Islamic coin that is being launched? Is it permissible or halal?
What is it?
Islamic coin. I think it's maybe a cryptocurrency or something of that nature.
I don't know. So if the questioner can send me more information, okay, I will look into this, inshallah. So ask the questioner to forward you and forward it to me, inshallah. Next question.
We're waiting on a few more questions to come through.
So, because I'm not aware, what is this Islamic coin? Is it electronic one? Is it gold? Is it silver? What is it? So the questioner has to provide more information, shall we?
Someone has asked, can you please give me the same brief introduction about Imam Shibab Zuhri and the work at the time of Umar Abdul Aziz?
Okay, that's a lecture by itself. Next question. Imam Zuhri is one of the muhaddithin. Okay. So, if you need to know about the biographies, you can go on the net and write Siyar A'lam al-Nubala or Imam Zuhri, and you can see the biography of Imam Zuhri. Same thing, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, they consider him to be the Khalifa al-Khamis, the fifth caliph, and his life is full of lessons for us because he was pious and righteous. At his time, though he ruled only for a short period of time, very short, but he established justice, the Adil. During his reign, the zakah collectors did not find anyone eligible for zakah, no one. So they wrote to him and they said, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, we can't find anyone to give him the zakah." He said, "Okay, count those who are the slaves and buy slaves and set them free." They did, then they sent him also, asking him the amount of money still surplus, a lot of money. He said, "Count those who are not married, the bachelors and spinsters, and get them married." They did, and they wrote again, "The mal, the money is still surplus, a lot of money." He said, "Buy food and grains and scatter the grains on the places where the birds are living." So that's what happened during the reign of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And guess what? His own family, Banu Umayyah, his wife is the daughter of one of the Khulafa of Banu Umayyah. When he married her, he has palaces, all types of jewelry, all types of ornaments, precious stones, all these things. When he became Khalifa, all that he took and put it in Bayt al-Mal. He said, "This is not yours. What your father gave you, that was not his. That was not his wealth. That's the wealth of the Muslims." He took all the palaces and the farms that were given from the Khulafa before him to Bani Umayyah, his cousins, his aunt, his own aunts. So then Bani Umayyah felt, "This guy is going to make our life miserable." Guess what they did? They killed him. They poisoned him. They poisoned him. They asked one of the slaves of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, who gives the food to him, and he put the poison. And he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, when you read his biography, it's amazing. Amazing. He was faqih, he was a scholar. He was always in contact with Al-Hasan al-Basri. There are many correspondences that took place between him and Al-Hasan al-Basri. His advisor was Raja ibn Haywa, another pious, righteous Muslim. Next question.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. If someone's son does something very bad and everyone found out and the parent lies to hide the mistake, is this okay?
Someone's son does something very bad and everyone found out and the parent lies to hide the mistake. Now, they should not lie. They should not lie. Right? He made a mistake. And he should be disciplined and should be corrected. But to cover what the son did and to lie, yes, we try, for example, in Islam, then this is not only the parent should do, every Muslim should do. If you see a Muslim brother or sister doing something, this is the problem now with the Muslims. Muslims now, they don't cover the faults and shortcomings of their brothers and sisters. They blackmail each other. You saw your brother is doing something, immediately. You pull your mobile. You see your sister with the boy in Islam, the same thing, put it in on Instagram. That's haram. That's totally haram in Islam. In Islam, we conceal, we cover up the drawbacks, the shortcomings of our brothers and sisters. That is our Islam. We don't blackmail anyone. We don't expose anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man satara Musliman fi dunya, satarahu Allah yawm al-qiyamah." If you cover the drawbacks, the shortcomings, and the mistakes of your brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal, on the day of resurrection, will treat you in the same manner. So He will not expose you in front of all mankind. That's not what Islam is teaching. You saw a brother doing haram. You advise him, Akhi, consider that I didn't see you, but fear Allah. Fear Allah. Allah is watching you. Don't repeat it. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sister, the same thing. You saw your sister doing something in Islam. The girl, you should go and tell all the sisters, and oh, I saw so and so doing this. Tell her, fear Allah, and repent, make tawbah. So now, if one's child, boy or girl, made a mistake, yeah, the same thing, same way, we try to cover and conceal, but we should not lie. We should not lie. To come out and say, wallahi, they did it. No. Okay. Normal, but something happened. Human beings, they make mistakes. We should not. This is our problem nowadays. We air our dirty linens. We air our dirty linens. We disclose whatever any Muslim does. So fear Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, and don't do that. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next.
Barakallahu feek, the next question. Please could you name a few trustworthy websites to seek knowledge from?
Yes, I think Islam Q&A by Sheikh Munajjid. Islam Web also. Islam Web. These two I would recommend, inshallah. Because you will find Arabic and English there, and I think other languages. Next.
Barakallahu feek. What are the privileges of the 4 Ashur al-Muharram months?
The Muharram is one of the sacred months. Okay, so one has to avoid sinning in any other month, but this month, if you, even before Islam, the people, they sanctify such months, so no killing, no bloodshed, etc. And committing and sinning in such months, it's not like sinning out in any other month, though it is haram. And of course, inshallah, the Tasu'a and Ashura, the 9th and 10th of Muharram, I think it will fall on Thursday and Friday coming. So one should fast that, because it is Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ recommended. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question, when is the divorce wajib and when can it be makruh?
What caused the, again, what's the question?
When is the divorce can be wajib and when can it be makruh?
Of course, the divorce can be wajib, can be makruh, can be haram. To divorce your wife just for no reason, because that is bulm. Okay. It is wajib when life becomes unbearable between you, husband and wife. So it's better in that case for them to end the relationship. Or if you find that she is cheating on you, okay, then you end this relationship because she is going to bring you children that they are not yours. Okay, also the talaq during a woman having her menses, it's also haram to divorce one to divorce his wife when she is having her niswa cycle. And that's called talaq bid'i, because it's not the correct procedure of making talaq. If someone wants to divorce his wife, he has to wait until she gets her period, and then she is clean, and then he doesn't sleep with her, and then he can divorce. There's a question here. It says, what caused the fitna between Hussein and Yazid? This is history. And you know what happened. When Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated by the criminals, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, the Caliph, and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu also, because he's very close relative of Sayyidina Uthman, he asked Sayyidina Ali to hand over to him those who killed Uthman. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu wanted to find out who are the real killers, the culprits, because when he asked who killed Uthman, hundreds, they say, all of us killed him. And Sayyidina Ali was Qadi, so he wants to find out the real culprits, the real criminals. Sayyidina Muawiyah, he realized that Sayyidina Ali is unable, so he decided to retaliate and kill those criminals. And that's why the army from Asham came, not to fight Sayyidina Ali, but those who killed Uthman. But Allah decreed something, and you know what happened. When the army from the Sham went to Iraq, and they met Sayyidina Ali, and they talked, and they agreed to hand over the criminals. But the criminals realized, okay, that they're going to be handed over. So at night, they attacked the army that came from Asham. And the army got surprised. Those who came from Asham, and they thought that they were betrayed and that the fight took over, which is known as the Battle of the Camel, because our mother Aisha was riding the camel. Anyway, to cut this story short, what happened, and Sayyidina Ali later on was also killed by the Khawarij. Then Sayyidina Hassan al-Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. And once he became Khalifa, immediately he called Sayyidina Muawiyah and he told Sayyidina Muawiyah, you are the Khalifa. I'm not the Khalifa. I don't want to be Khalifa. And that called Aam al-Jama'ah, the year of the group, or the word the Muslims were united. Then Muawiyah passed away and his son became the Khalifa Yazid. And Yazid ibn Muawiyah, There are many lies about him that he's alcoholic and he is doing all these major sins, which is not true. All these are lies by the Shia. Lies by the Shia. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya is one of the children of Sayyidina Ali. And he is the brother of al-Hasan and al-Husayn. But his mother is different, not Fatima, a woman from Bani Hanifa. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he visited Yazid and he said, I found him pious, righteous person. Did Yazid kill al-Husayn? That is not true. What happened that Sayyidina al-Husayn, he wanted, because when Yazid became the Khalifa, he didn't accept that. And he thought that he is the one who should be the Khalifa. So he talked and he sent letters to the people of Iraq if they are ready to give him the bay'ah, the allegiance. And he sent his own cousin, Aqil. And Aqil sent many letters to al-Husayn telling him the people of Iraq are ready to meet you and to accept you and stand by you and give you the bay'ah. So Sayyidina Ali, al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, he accepted it. So he believed them. He believed them. The Sahaba, they tried to stop Sayyidina al-Husayn from leaving Medina because they know about the people of Iraq. And they know the Prophet, he already told them that al-Husayn will be martyred. There is a hadith, the Prophet said al-Husayn will be killed. So everyone tried to stop him, but he didn't listen. Even Abdullah ibn Umar, he came to talk to him. He said, the people already committed themselves. They gave me my word, their words, and they have to go. He warned him, he didn't listen. So Abdullah ibn Umar hugged him and cried and said, what a martyr. He knew he was going to be martyred. In his way, that's why you need to study the history. In his way to Iraq, Sayyidina al-Husayn, he met in his way al-Farazdaq. Al-Farazdaq is the poet. Al-Farazdaq. And he asked him, tell me about the people of Iraq. He said, Yabna binti Rasulillah, O son of the daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Qulubuhum ma'ak wa suyufhum alayk. Qulubuhum ma'ak wa suyufhum alayk. Their hearts with you, but their swords against you. They are going to fight you, the people of Iraq. And then he reached the place of Karbala. And now he is confronted with the army of the people of Iraq. Actually, the ones who killed al-Husayn are the Shia. The Shia are the ones who killed al-Husayn. Shia. So now when he is, because he took all his family with him. So when he is now confronting the army of the people of Iraq, he told them, let me go back to Medina. Okay, I'll go back to Medina. Or allow me to go to Yazid. I will go to Yazid. He's my cousin, and we will solve our problem. They said, no way. We will not allow you to go to Medina, neither to Medina nor to go to Yazid. We will fight you. And he fought and he was martyred. Who killed him? The Shia themselves are the ones. And that's why they are slapping their faces and crying and these things. But they are the culprits. They are the ones who killed him, not Yazid. Yazid grieved upon the death of al-Husayn. And he honored the families of Ahlul Bayt. So what you read about him is not true. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Awwal jaysh yaghzul Qustantiniyya maghfoor Allah." The first army that conquers will invade Constantinople, their sins are forgiven, that army. And guess who was the commander and the leader? Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So this is in brief. What's the next question?
Barakallahu feek. The next question. If friends had a falling out and one has reached out to invite the other, should the other accept the invite or reject it? Please advise what is the best practice.
Okay. So two friends. Something happened between them. That's how I understand it. And someone now trying to reach the other, either to apologize or normalize the relationship or apologize, whatever. In Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is haram for two Muslims to stop talking to each other for more than 3 nights, and the best one of them is the one who takes the initiative and give the salam to the other. So this is what the hadith says. So if this brother or his two sisters, whatever, and he comes or she comes and apologizes, then accept their apology and normalize your relationship, and things should be normal, unless you feel that you don't want this relation because that brother or this that sister are doing something shameful and it's going to harm you, and it might lead you to pull you to their side, etc. It depends on the situation. I don't know what is the real problem actually, but as a rule of thumb, if just something happened and someone said, I'm sorry, okay, I apologize, okay, life has to continue. And as mentioned in the hadith, the one who is lenient, tolerant, is the best one. Next question, if I got the question right. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question, what is the ruling on the wife who exposes her husband for his defects in the home?
No, it's haram. You should not. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. What is inside the home between husband and wife should remain inside, and should remain inside their bedroom. Even their children should not know about it. That's it. You don't go and talk about your husband. You should try to reform your husband. Improve him. Help him. If you find him doing something haram, so help him to get rid of that, to come closer to Allah, to repent. Not that you pick your phone and speak to your mother. Listen to me, sisters. Never do that. Don't consult your mother, because she will react emotionally and she will not give you the right guidance. Would not give you the right guidance. So that's why if you want advice of her. Don't tell her, "Mom, this is what happened to me." No, put it in the third person. "Mother, if someone is looking for advice, and this is what will happen." So your mother will not feel that it is you. It is just you are asking on behalf of somebody else. So if your husband did something, don't pick up the phone and you are crying, "Mom, this is what happened to me." Don't do that. You should be smart, intelligent, and wise. And you should know how to handle this problem and how to help your husband to overcome this problem and how to come out of it. Not that you start talking about it. Talking about it, because naturally, if you start airing the dirty linen, exposing her to everyone, you are calling for the end of your marital life. Yes, if life became unbearable, and you want to have talaq, then within circumstances, when there is leeway where you can tell the qadi, the judge, about your problem, that my husband is doing this, 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 and this, so I cannot continue living with him. Only in that case. But apart from that, you try to cover up the faults of your husband and try to improve him and try to remind him and ask him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question says, follow up. Is it right also that in Muharram, Prophet Musa alayhi salam himself did fasting? Yes, that is true. The Prophet, when he arrived in Medina, he found the Jews fasting Ashura. So he asked, "Why are you fasting Ashura?" They said, "This is the day Allah saved us, Bani Israel, Israelites, from the Pharaoh and his troops. So we commemorate that day by fasting and thanking Allah." Upon that, the Prophet ﷺ said, "We are indeed closer to Moses than you." So he told the Muslims to fast. And then he said, "If I live until next year, I will fast also the 9th, Tashu'a and Ashura." Yes. Next question.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. Is there a term called sins jariya, which continues to be written for a person after they die, if the sins continue through others that were started by the person who died?
Yes, here. This is a new term. Sadaqa jariya, sins jariya. Okay. If someone invited, was calling the people to misguidance, to bid'ahs, okay, misleading the people, then he died. So yes, while he's in his grave, all the sins those people whom he misguided committed will be added to his record. So be careful. Next.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. A sister who has been divorced, should she inform people like friends and family that she's divorced? like wedding, or should she keep quiet and unless she is asked?
No, she can inform her family, at least her father or her mother, so that they know that she was divorced. So this is first talaq. But she should remain and spend the iddah in the house of her husband. Okay. So the waiting period, which is 3 menstrual cycles or 3 months. Okay. This is the first time, first talaq, she has to stay. And that is the wisdom behind it, is to give a chance to the husband to take her back. So if he says, I have taken you back, or he sleeps with her, or kisses her, or hugs her, that means he took her back. But if this period, the 3 menstrual cycles or 3 months elapsed, finished, then she has to move to her parents. Now, if he wants to marry her again, she has her consent is a must. He cannot force her. While she is in the iddah, she is still his wife. He can just decide, I have taken you, okay, and that's it. But now if he wants to take her back, there should be new mahar money, bridal money, and a new marriage contract. So she went back, he divorced her the second time, the same procedure. When the iddah finishes, he has to leave. Now if he wants to take her again, the same thing. He took her again, and now he divorced her the third time, then she has to leave immediately the house and go to her family. That is the end of the story, and the chapter of their marriage is closed. If she married another man, normal marriage, not what they call it, halala in the subcontinent, okay, you marry this woman for one night, then you divorce her to go back, that's totally haram. But if he married normal marriage, then she was divorced. Then if the former husband wants to take her, he can. Next.
Just a question clarifying on the previous question. Is there an Arabic term for since Jariya?
Since Jariya, this is the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that if you... من دعا إلى إلى the hadith, he says the that if someone called to misguidance, so whomever follows that misguidance, those misguided by him, all the deeds, this is Sunnah Sayyah, called Sunnah Sayyah, which is bad way, sunnah sayyah, bad sunnah. Then all those who follow that path or that way, they will be, all their sins will be in his record. Okay, there's nothing called sins jariyah. There's nothing. The first time I hear this terminology. Next.
Jazakallah khair wa barakallah fiqh. This was the last question. If you would like to conclude the lesson, Jazakallah.
Barakallah fiqh. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah azza wa jal elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al Na'im. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming sessions, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihibbullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.